It's the Midnight Radio Network. He's Gary McNamara. I'm Eric Harley. He's a Bills fan. I'm a Cowboys fan. Neither one of us is having a good day. 800-288-9.
I stopped worrying over a month ago. It's five in a row now.
What did your Bills do? They lost again?
Five in a row, yeah.
Okay. Well, we lost one in a row. We beat ourselves.
And remember what I predicted.
The Cardinals just happened to be there.
Remember what I predicted 4 weeks ago. I said they will lose every single game the rest of the year.
Yeah.
They now just have four left to make that come
true. All right. Now you're rooting for them to meet your expectations. Come on, four more.
They just need you to lose four more. Well, they play San Diego next week on the road. Then they play Tim Tebow.
Yeah.
And right now a Catholic NFL team could not beat Tim Tebow.
I don't know what that means. What?
Well, because he's quite religious.
Oh, okay.
That was my whole point. You thought it was bashing the Catholics?
I didn't know what it
was. I'm going to get that now. What was it, 2 weeks ago? I was bashing, what, the Boy Scouts or something.
I'm bashing
the Boy Scouts?
Yeah, we would never bash the Boy Scouts.
Why would I bash the Boy Scouts?
Why would we bash the Boy Scouts? Hey, it is Ask the Law for Monday, December 5th, 2011. And retired senior trooper Monty Dial is here, courtesy of Old Blue USA. He and I were talking before the show that we've had quite a bit of rain here over the last few days. And we're actually catching up. Mm-hmm. You've had some rain out there at the ranch, right?
Yes.
A messy day as you, one of your cows gave birth to a calf.
Yes.
In the rain.
In the rain.
This is like, was Robert Duvall anywhere near you? This is like a Robert Duvall movie.
Come on, we got to, somebody boil.
Okay, let me ask you this. Did anybody boil water?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess it wasn't a movie then. But we've had lots of rain here in Texas. In the Southern Plains, actually, reaching up through the central part of the U.S., good news for a lot of people in Texas, especially you ranchers, in that it's kind of putting back a little bit of what we lost. We're now getting some runoff in the lakes, or going toward the lakes. We'll see how far that goes. But here we are, the last Ask the Law. It's not only the last Ask the Law of the year. It's the last Ask the Law in this studio, because it's likely we'll be in our new studios by the time the next Ask the Law comes around.
Just give me directions on how to get there.
Give them directions. Give them a map, somebody. But this is it. This is the how many years you've been coming to this building? For me, it's been 15 years as of this coming Friday.
We started in 99.
Yeah. Holy cow, just 3 years after I started.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've been coming here 12 years to this building. So, well, say goodbye. And we've already said goodbye to the doors, and the salespeople left over the weekend, so there's not much left. There's a couple of packets of Sweet and Low in the kitchen if you need some. That's about all we have left. That's the sustenance they left behind for the DJs. But here we are. We have been told that we're going to, on a more serious note, that we're supposed to get an hours of service rule sometime in the next 30 days. We've been playing this waiting game how long now? Because it was a year ago this month, December of last year.
Well, that was,
they announced it.
Right. But they went and back in July was when they finally reached an agreement with the court, and they told the court that they would have something published by October the 28th.
Yeah. How did that work out for us? That didn't work at all, did it?
Didn't work at all.
No.
Nothing came out.
No.
And
even Ann Farrow, just days before that, the Monday before that deadline.
Right.
All of us in the media were asking her at the ATA conference, Ms. Farrow, you sure you're going to make that October 28th deadline? Because the OMB doesn't even have the hours of service rule yet. Oh, yeah. We still plan on it. You know, that's the only problem I guess I've had with this entire thing is don't lead us along. We're smart enough to figure it out, but the agencies, I think, should be, and this is my opinion, agencies should be forthright in saying, look, we're trying to get it out as soon as possible. The OMB doesn't have it yet, so you can kind of do your own math. We may not meet that October 28th deadline, but we're certainly working towards that. Right. I would have accepted that October 28th. That's going to be the day. We should let you know, by the way, all the information and answers to questions are up to date as of today, December 5th, 2011, can change without notice. Any comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. Go to askthelaw.org, askthelaw.org anytime. Submit your CMV questions. And drivers, this is where you get in right now at 800-288-9227. Over the last few days, we have had questions about the handheld cell phone ban. Okay. It is not. It is now a final rule.
Yes.
Is it effective immediately?
What happens is, on the federal side, it is effective immediately.
Okay.
What will happen is, depending upon how each state adopts the federal regulations, mm-hmm. some of them will have to go through and wait until their legislators meet and get that portion of it adopted. Other states, such as Texas, they have laws that anytime the federal authority make any changes to the regulations, it immediately becomes effective on the Texas side. So there's some other states that are on the same program that Texas is. But typically what Texas will do is they will give a 90-day warning period before they take any type of enforcement action.
So kind of a soft enforcement?
Yes.
They will just let you know if they pull you over and, yes. and see you. So is this a primary offense?
Yes.
So they see you on a phone and a yes. commercial vehicle.
Yes.
That's it.
That's it.
And it says here that you could lose your CDL.
Yes.
You could have $2,750 for each offense.
Well,
from operating a commercial motor vehicle. Ultimately,
first off, those fines are on the federal side.
Okay.
In Texas, it will be classed as a Class C misdemeanor, with a maximum fine not to exceed $500.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, so then if you are, let's say when this is fully in full enforcement
yes.
mode, and you are pulled over,
mm-hmm.
and they write you the ticket,
yes.
now you would have to write, are you going to have to write two different checks?
No.
Are you going to have to write?
No, you'll write. What will happen is Texas will issue a Texas trooper that does DOT enforcement will, if he catches you and issues a citation, the citation will be issued to the driver. He will be required to contact the magistrate listed on the citation, and the magistrate has a maximum of up to $500 plus court cost on the fine. What will happen is the fines that FMCSA states, those are civil penalties, and the FMCSA inspectors, if they find, say they're doing road check, that's about the only time they ever work the road, is they go through, and if they see a driver coming into a scale, at that point, then they can take and issue a, they don't actually call it a citation. What they do is they have to prepare some paperwork, file it with the regional area that they work in.
Mm-hmm.
It goes to a U.S. attorney. He makes sure it's all the I's are dotted and T's are crossed, and if they are, then he accepts the case. And at that point, then a civil penalty is issued. And that civil penalty can be up to $2,700.
And ultimately, through only, at least if it's enforced in Texas, your likelihood, I guess, of losing the avenue to which you would ultimately, or scenario to which you would ultimately lose your CDL, would have to fall in the same line of
yes.
enforcement?
Yes. What will happen is, based upon the criteria that FMCSA sets up, what is it, two citations,
mm-hmm.
or two convictions within a year, then the that will fall into place with Texas, and Texas will have to adopt that to where it will be compatible with the federal program.
Hmm. All right, drivers, if you want to get on board, now is the time. 800-288-9227 if you have a question about hours of service, about CSA. Maybe something happened during a recent inspection. You wonder how that's going to affect you under CSA. And maybe the handheld cell phone ban. You've got a question there. I know we've had some questions by email and by phone over the last few days on that particular item. Anything, any regulatory question you might have, now is the time to get it in at 800-288-9227. We'll get to your national forecast at 33 past.
On the Midnight Radio Network. Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law, 800-288-9227. I'm Gary McNamara, along with Eric Harley.
Drivers, this is where you get your free advice at 800-288-9227. We are here with retired senior trooper Monty Dial of the Texas Highway Patrol, courtesy of R.J. Taylor and Old Blue USA. We want to thank R.J. and the staff there at Old Blue USA for sponsoring this event for many years. And we want to let you know that Ask the Law, all the answers and information is up to date as of today, December 5th, 2011, can change without notice. Comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. We'll get into more of this coming up after the bottom of the hour. Drivers, get in now, 800-288-9227. If you have a question about CSA, hours of service, or any regulatory question, let us know at 800-288-9227. Lyndon Finney at The Trucker wrote this story, and I thought it was interesting. It came out. He wrote this. It was posted on Friday. And he says, there it was, tucked neatly away on the last page of her submitted testimony before the House Subcommittee on Regulatory Affairs, Stimulus Oversight, and Government Spending last Wednesday. By the way, he notes, the purpose of the hearing was a hoot. And he notes the title, something we noted the other night. The Price of Uncertainty, How Much Could DOT's Proposed Billion-Dollar Service Rule Cost Consumers This Holiday Season? Well, Lyndon writes, hey, you folks up there in Washington, the rule isn't even out yet, so how can a rule that does not that's not scheduled to come out until probably after the holidays impact consumer costs? And that was a question we had. It's not going to impact the this holiday season. That was a silly name for it. But he goes back to the main topic. In her submitted testimony, Ann Farrow, administrator of the FMCSA, was telling the world that major changes are coming in the new hours of service rule. All right. She says, and here's the quote, we look forward to issuing the final rule and will work with stakeholders and state partners to provide a smooth transition from the current regulations to full compliance with the new requirements. That tells you right there, the rules are changing.
Oh, yeah.
Lyndon writes, no one could argue that any change would require a coordinated effort among the FMCSA, trucking stakeholders, and state partners, but if the major tenets of the current rule were left intact, there would be little need for Farrow to make such a statement. And that's true. She has pretty much said in her testimony last week that it's going to change.
Well, I think
it's going to be different. We just don't know what's going to change.
Yeah, I think all along, in hearing the comments coming from FMCSA, they were going to make some changes.
Yeah,
it's just we don't know what they are.
What they are.
To what extent
right.
The changes are going to be made.
We'll talk more about hours of service in a bit. Let's get to you at 800-288-9227. Let's go to Roanoke, Texas, and that's where Larry is this morning.
Hi, Larry. You're on the Midnight Radio Network. You're on Ask the Law. Welcome. Hi.
Well, good morning. How you gentlemen doing?
Good.
Well, when I'm down in this area, I listen to y'all quite often in this area down here. And I tell you something, this new rule they come out with this Bluetooth and these stiff fines on commercial truck drivers out here, well, I tell you something, I don't think it's fair to the truck drivers, and I think it ought to stimulate right down to the law where they don't have a Bluetooth, the DOT don't have a Bluetooth, including the federal government, don't have Bluetooth, because over 92% of the people out here don't have a Bluetooth, including four-wheelers and people in automobiles, and police officers being on the computer, being on a regular cell phone without a Bluetooth, operating the telephone and computer at the same time.
Well, I'll tell you, and we thank you for the comment, Larry. I will say this. The DOT did come out with their own department policy. And this was, gosh, I want to say it was mid-last year?
Yeah, mid-last year.
About 18 months ago, where no DOT employee can have a handheld cell phone.
Correct.
And that's just the matter of the fact. So at least in that case, to that extent, they are walking the walk.
Yes.
All right. So if you want to make that case, we understand the frustration that others aren't supposed to, can't do it or can do it, that four-wheelers can do it. But we have to also remember that many states and municipalities already have handheld cell phone bans in place, not just in school zones. That is widening. Those bans are widening for all drivers. We're going to talk more about this coming up on Ask the Law
on the Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network. And Ask the Law, 800-288-9227. Drivers, if you want to get your question answered. I'm Gary McNamara, along with Eric Harley.
We want to let you know that it is Ask the Law for December 5th, 2011. And I almost said 2012. We're almost there. And I'm still writing 2010 on all my checks. if I ever wrote a check. And we want to let you know that all the information is up to date and can change without notice. And Ask the Law is a service of Old Blue USA. Their website is askthelaw.org. Just click on that big red button that says email Ask the Law, and you can submit your CMV questions any time. All right, so get in with us at 800-288-9227. Comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. All right, let's get back to you. 800-288-9227.
And we go to John in Arkansas. John, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network. You're on Ask the Law. Welcome. Hi. Hello,
yes,
John.
I'd like to know about the vehicle inspection at the end of the day.
Yes.
Is that required on all your logs? Even though if you started your log at 5 in the afternoon and you're not done driving for the day?
Yes, 396.11 requires that at the end of the day or at the end of the trip, you have to do the driver vehicle inspection report. So if you start your trip at 5 p.m. sometime before the end of that day, you need to pull over and do a driver vehicle inspection or a post-trip inspection.
So the end of the day being midnight?
Yes.
Okay, so sometime before midnight, you'll have to do that.
Yes.
Right. That answered my question. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. That's one of the basics, I think, that kind of slips me, even as long as we've been doing this show, that's required. I guess there's so much for drivers to keep up with. When you were out there doing enforcement, was it common for drivers to miss that post trip?
Well, when I first started it was a requirement, and enforcement action could be taken on the road if a driver failed to do the post trip inspection.
Mm-hmm.
In the 90s, they took the requirement away that required the driver to do the post trip.
Hmm.
Now then, it is required only when they go in and do the compliance review, and the motor carrier is required to retain 90 days worth of inspections.
The guys that are running, and gals that are running the paperless logs, how is that? Is that something that's noted on the paperless log?
No. What they'll need to do is, if they're running automatic or electronic logs, they still have to complete the paperwork.
Okay. All right. 800-288-9227. Let's get back to you.
We have Les in Texas. Les, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network. Welcome. Hi.
Hey, How you doing?
Good.
I'm a long-haul truck driver, and my question is about the fuel prices. Is there any explanation in reality, I mean, definite point, of why diesel fuel is 80-plus cents a gallon more than gasoline at this point in time?
Well, not a question that we would normally take on Ask the Law. I will answer it for you. Yes, it has to do with regulatory items, in fact. So it's kind of a cousin to Ask the Law, if you will. But the ultra-low sulfur diesel fuel, we actually talked about this last week. Ultra-low sulfur diesel came on the market in August of 2006. And as a result, we went from the early 90s of 3,300 parts per million sulfur content down to, in August of 2006, 15 parts per million. And now they have to extract all that sulfur out of that diesel. That makes it more expensive because it's more of a task at the refinery level. That's why it's more expensive these days. Again, regulatory items. So there you have it. 800-288-9227. If you have a question, a regulatory question, we would love to take that for from you at 800-288-9227. Something on hours of service. Something on the handheld cell phone ban. You and I were talking going into the break, and what's interesting is there's the texting ban that and which has been in place on the federal level for a while.
Yes.
There is now the handheld cell phone ban that is in place.
Yes.
And then there are cities, municipalities, and states that are doing their own.
Yes.
It's tough to keep up with it. It's almost like the idling regulations because we know now the federal regulation is there. We know that that's – and that covers, you know, every bit of federal ground. But there are different, you know, rules and regulations in different cities. And as such, as you pointed out, say in Texas, it has a different impact as far as the enforcement is concerned, the penalty.
Well, one of the things, and here again, you know, drivers need to be aware or try to educate themselves as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
The one, if there was something that is a bright star in this, is that a city or county or state law that bans a cell phone or bans texting, whatever,
mm-hmm.
most of those are violations that will not affect the driver's CSA data.
Right.
Simply because the data that goes on the CSA is generated off of the roadside inspections.
Mm-hmm.
So, as an example, if Texas did implement, which right now Texas does not have a ban on texting, but Texas DOT certified troopers enforce the federal texting ban,
mm-hmm.
which the only way that could be enforced is if a Texas DOT certified trooper or inspector saw the driver operating a commercial motor vehicle. But other than that, if a local city like Arlington has a city ban that just went in on texting,
mm-hmm.
If a truck driver gets caught in Arlington, it will not affect the CSA data because it is not a federal requirement.
I mentioned idling laws. I want to talk to you about idling laws coming up after the break because we had a question last week and a driver brought up a very valid point in that the newer engines are literally filtering the air. The exhaust coming out of those engines is cleaner than the intake, the air going into those engines. And as such, shouldn't they be, these municipalities be begging us or at the very least giving us an exemption if we have a newer engine? Some areas you do get an exemption when you're operating with a newer engine. I want to talk to you about that.
Okay.
All right, so coming up, we'll talk about that, idling laws. Also, your concerns, your questions at 800-288-9227, whether it's CSA, hours of service, or any other regulatory item, we would love to take your question now on Ask the Law at 800-288-9227. We are back in a moment
on the Midnight Radio Network. It's a Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law. I'm Gary McNamara with Eric Hurley.
And retired senior trooper Monty Dial is here, courtesy of Old Blue USA, 800-288-9227. All the information is up to date as of today, December 5th, 2011. Can change without notice. Comments by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. Let's get back to the phones.
Let's talk to Jesse in Oklahoma. Jesse, you're on the Midnight Radio Network. You're on Ask the Law. Welcome. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
I was just calling to about hours of service, of personal driving time we used to use.
You still can.
Are the provisions the same?
Yes.
Or did they change those?
No. Well, right now, Jesse, we're still operating under the 2005 hours of service. Nothing's been changed yet.
Okay.
Yeah, we have to be careful because we've been anticipating this rule change for months, but nothing has changed yet. Even when they announce the rule, there will be an effective date of that rule. It likely will not be immediately in effect.
Okay.
So under that rule, you can, and what does he need to know about personal conveyance?
Well, what you need to do is make sure that you have access to the internet. You can actually go in and pull up the interpretations or get a copy of the management edition that has the interpretations in it. And in part 395.8 in the interpretation, question 26. Are a couple of examples. One has to do with if you're what's called en route. You're going from point A to point B and you have to stop and spend the night. You can drop the trailer and use the tractor for personal conveyance to do shopping, go get something to eat, go to the movies.
Oh, yeah, that I understood. What I talk about is I work out of Oklahoma, but I live over in Arkansas, and I use personal driving time to go home.
Okay. Do you always go back to the terminal?
No terminal. I just go back to my house.
Okay, but where do you drop the trailer at?
I take it with me. It's mine.
No, you're going to have a hard time finding someone that's going to allow you to do that as personal conveyance.
Because essentially, you're being dispatched from the house, right?
Well, I haul cattle.
Right.
And I do my own.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. It's a deal that what it sounds like, Jesse, is you're just trying to use the personal conveyance so that you can get back to where you started from. And
No. I take it to go home. I only go home about once every 3 months.
Right. I understand that. But I
use that to go home, and then I stay there about 2 weeks.
Right. But what happens is whenever you end your trip. You have to have a point where you end the trip, and you have to have a point where you start the trip.
Yeah.
And under the personal conveyance, in that interpretation that is written in 395.8, question 26, you have to start and stop from the same location. If you don't stop at one location and you don't start at that same location, then you're going to find very, very few DOT officers that are going to allow you to use personal conveyance driving home.
Because essentially their interpretation is likely going to be his start and stop is always at the house.
Right.
All right. So, and you know, that's unfortunately for you, that's the scenario. The advice would be from the program officially, don't try and use that personal conveyance because if you get caught, you know, then you're in trouble.
Well, that's why I was asking, because the old officer who used to come out and audit my books, the older gentleman, he retired or something. Then this new kid come in, and he told me, he said, okay, I know you've been doing it like this, but you can't do this anymore.
Yeah, but see, Jesse, that is what that one particular officer's, that was his interpretation. Once you get outside and, you know, and I had this same problem when I was working before I retired. Somebody would call in and ask a question, and I'd say, well, you know, someone is going to allow you to do it, but you get into another area and somebody's not going to you, and you're going to be up a creek.
You bet. It's Ask the Law
on the Midnight Radio Network.